Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 6. We're going to look at this commission again. There's a lot here. His throne room encounter was very much like John's throne room encounter. The difference between Isaiah was actually commissioned in the throne room of God. One of the very few commissions you see God calls them up. Usually he commissions here. Isaiah, he calls him up into the throne room of God. He sees the seraphim, which the six wings. John saw them as the beast with the six wings and full of eyes. They call them seraphim here. Same beasts that are before the throne. And he sees the Lord in the throne. So we'll look at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We'll get back to that later. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. These are the four beasts that John saw. With two they covered his face. With two they covered his feet. With two they did fly. And they cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy." John said the exact same thing about them. John was in the same throne room. I tend to believe, actually, Isaiah may have been in a time that was outside of his time when he was called up to the throne. Meaning, I believe he was called up to a future throne room encounter, just like John was. And he was commissioned, I actually think he was commissioned to prophesy in three different dispensations. Amen? I know he was commissioned to prophesy in three different dispensations. Now, if you remember, when Peter, James, and John were caught up, we were talking about the transfiguration, they were caught up in the transfiguration. We saw only that they saw the glory and the glory cloud. They entered into the glory cloud. But we don't know what happened all in there until Peter started giving his account of what all he encountered. He started talking about the second coming of the Lord. He started talking about the thousand-year millennial reign. He was all of this, and he based all of everything he was saying in Second Peter on this encounter that he had. We were with him. We saw him. We're eyewitnesses of his majestic glory. When you get caught up in the glory, the true glory of God, and you listen to me very carefully, because this is what's going to happen to this whole generation. When we get caught up in the glory of God, things happen. But there is one thing that happens that I see on every person who encounters the true glory of God. And that's what I want to talk about, because Isaiah, it happened to him too. And I'm going to share that with you today. What happened to Moses? What happened to Isaiah? What happened to John? What happened to Peter, James, and John? What's going to happen to us? What we're believing for? There's something that definitely God shares with us once we're caught up in the true glory of God. Amen? Now, with that said, so he talked about the seraphim, and they cried one another, "Holy." Verse 4, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried." Now, he has this encounter, and he goes, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people." And the seraphim went and grabbed the coal from the altar and touched his lips and all, cleansed him right there. He didn't have a new nature like we do, but still, it wouldn't matter. The holiness of God is the holiness of God, and he cleansed him right there. And verse 9, and he goes, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Said, "Here am I, send me." And he says, "Go tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with the eyes, hear with the ears, and understand with the heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabited, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. So he's asking, how long am I going to prophesy all of this? He goes, until the cities be without inhabited. Now, actually, that prophecy was layered, what's called, it's a layered prophecy. It happened twice, and it was for two different dispensations. Right, that word he gave him right there, he went and began to prophesy to his own generation, and he began to prophesy their captivity to Babylon. And God saying, you're going to prophesy until there's nobody left in this city, because they're all going into captivity. Nobody believed that God would give them up, but he prophesied that they would, and God had sent him to prophesy. So a lot of the prophecies of Isaiah were for his generation, But then they were also for the generation that Christ lived in while he walked the earth. They constantly referred to his prophecies, but in particularly one I want you to see that grabbed my attention. Go to John chapter 12. Because I want to share something that happened that you couldn't see by reading Isaiah 6, just like you couldn't see by reading about the transfiguration, what happened to Peter in there. But Isaiah encountered some serious stuff while he was standing in the throne room. He didn't say it all. He eventually said it, but it wasn't revealed there in that chapter. Amen? John chapter 12. So we're going to get right in the middle of this prophecy, verse 37. It says, and though he had done so many miracles, speaking of Christ, before them, yet they believed not upon him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying, Lord, who believed our report? Now that was spoken on the first verse of what chapter? Isaiah 53. What is Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 is the great substitution and identification chapter. Isaiah sees him on the cross. Surely he's borne our afflictions. Surely he's borne our sins. Surely he's carried our pains. He was despised and rejected of men. That whole chapter, it was talking about his substitution. He took our sicknesses and pains. He took our sin. He took our infirmities. He stood dumb before the shears, opening not our mouth. He had the wisdom of the universe, but he stood dumb. Everything he was doing was an act of substitution. He could have delivered himself with one word in the Sanhedrin court, but he didn't. He withheld his wisdom to make the wisdom of God available to you. He received and took upon him the sin and the sicknesses. And surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. He became a sin offering for us. He despised and rejected a man. He took our rejection. The great substitution identification. Isaiah saw all this in advance. And he saw all this at that time when he was caught up on the throne. So go back here, and he said, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That was Isaiah 53. Therefore they could not believe, now this is Isaiah 6, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, and they should not see with the eyes or understand with the heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now all this was told to him there in Isaiah 6. Now look at his next verse. These things said Isaiah when what? When he saw his glory and spake of him. It never said that he saw his glory, but he did see his glory because he was caught up in the throne. Whenever you see somebody witnessing or encountering the true glory of God, like Moses was caught up with God on the mountain and he said, show me your glory. What happened as a result of that? He said, I can't show you the front side, but I'll show you the back side. Speaking of, I can't show you the front because you represent the law, but I'm going to show you everything that has happened between the beginning of creation till now. I'll show you all of it. And Moses wrote, as we know, all the first five books of the Old Testament. He was never there. And he had intimate, detailed knowledge that you could not pass down on a computer, much less a tablet of stone. Because God walked him through all of that. Because when anybody or anyone encounters or experiences the true glory of God, they're going to encounter what we call or have termed omnipresent omniscience. Say omnipresent, which is anywhere at all times omniscience, the all-knowing understanding of God. Anytime anybody encounters the glory, they begin to see unfolding revelations of God's plans and purposes, whether past, present, or future. Amen? And those unfolding revelations of God's purposes from a heavenly perspective transforms the earth that we live in. And when Isaiah was caught up on the throne, not only did he see God's plan for his people, he started prophesying of the coming Messiah, and he saw a panoramic view of the Messiah, and he began to prophesy in multiple chapters concerning the coming Christ. In Isaiah 61, he prophesied of the anointed Christ. He says, the anointing is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty the bruised, preach acceptable year of the Lord. When the Lord prophesied that in himself, Isaiah prophesied that as in Isaiah 61. In other words, when he got caught up in the glory of the throne and he sees the majestic king on the throne of God, he's looking at the incarnate Christ before he'd even taken bodily form. He's seeing him in his next phase, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Lord was in Word form in the Old Testament. It's not until he took upon a body he could see him in that body. But Isaiah was seeing him as a king sitting on that throne in his glorified position. And he saw a panoramic view of the future, not only of his people of his time, but he prophesied of the time of Christ, of his anointing, of his suffering. Isaiah 53, the time that God would anoint him. He talked about the transference of wealth multiple times. Because why? He was caught up and he saw the glory of God. Whenever you truly look into the glory of God, you're going to receive a panoramic, multi-layered view of God's plans and purposes, either past, present, or future, depending on what God wants you to see. But you're going to see something. It happens every time somebody. And they see far, deep, and wide because of it. Like Moses, he saw so much. We wouldn't have known any of this had Moses not captured it. Amen? When John gets caught up, he captures 7 years, but he goes beyond the 7 year tribulation. Peter, James, and John, they capture the second coming there. You get exposed to the mysteries of the Father, what he has held within himself that he's not sharing with anybody else. When you get caught up in the glory, God starts showing you things that nobody else is seeing. Amen? Not only are you showing it, you're living, you're dwelling in it. You're seeing it. It's unfolding before your eyes. God has given us parts of his glory in this church. We see some things that are unfolding, but we are only seeing partial. We're about to start seeing full. Praise God. So here, Isaiah was caught up in the throne. When the Bible says he sees him high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. That train was speaking of the glory of God that was filling the whole temple. It was filling the throne room of God. And Isaiah, when he looked upon God, when he looked upon Christ, because he said he saw his glory and he spake of him, he was seeing Christ on that throne before he was ever had a body. He was seeing him. That means Isaiah wasn't just looking at Christ during his time, because Christ was still in word form. Spirit, word, form. Whatever that looked like. He didn't have the body that he has now, because he took upon himself the nature of the seed of Abraham. He was seeing him in his glorified position in the body, seeing him as a king. He was seeing Christ in a future state. When he got caught up to the throne, he wasn't in the Father that is. He was in that which is to come. And he was seeing multiple unfolding revelations because of where he was. Now, get this. Go back to Isaiah real quick. Because you have to understand the reason why God's given us all this, because this is what's about to happen to a global company of people. It's not going to be one Isaiah and one John and one Moses. It's going to be a multiple of people, a generation, a church, a seed that God's going to call out of his church. And you're going to see multiple Moseses, multiple John. So we see that he saw his glory and spake of him. He was looking at Christ. All right. So in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Well, he was seeing Christ in bodily form on that throne before he had bodily form. But he didn't take bodily form until the book of Matthew. He was the Word, the Logos. He took upon him the nature and the seed of Abraham to redeem us. Amen. But he sees him there like that. And above stood the seraphim. He's not seeing the Father because it's very clear. John tells us he saw his glory and spake of him. Speaking of Christ. So John gets caught up. He sees Christ. He's in a future position somewhere. But he is prophesying to his generation. He's prophesying to the generation of Christ. And he's prophesying to our generation. Because he spends the time. He goes all the way from where they are, pre-captivity, all the way to the thousand-year millennial reign. Because he preaches that. He prophesies that in chapter 65 and 66. He gives references. He's seeing this panoramic plan of God unfold as he's caught up before the throne. It doesn't tell you all that until you start reading the other parts of his prophecies to see that what he saw there. Amen? What he was exposed to. I'm like, what is going on? He said, he saw my glory. When you truly... Now, you can feel the glory of God, and we all have that, but when you get in front of God and you see his glory, something's going to happen to you that is forever going to change you and the generation you live in, because you're going to be exposed to the omniscience of the Father, the omniscience of Christ. He's going to open you up to see. He's going to share mysteries and understanding. Things like, because we're in the last days, God is going to raise a whole company of believers that are going to walk, encounter, and experience the true glory of God, which means that any one person that's encountering the glory, like when Moses said, show me your glory. It wasn't just the cloud he was seeing. You got to get that out of your mentality. Well, just show me your glory. You see a cloud? No, it's far greater than that. When God shows you his glory, he's going to show the unfolding revelations of who he is and what he's doing in the earth. He can't help himself. He's going to let you in on his secrets. He's going to open his garment, let you see some things not everybody is seeing. That's part of seeing his glory. You cannot, I'll say it like this, you cannot see the glory of God without being exposed to his omniscience. Like Isaiah was. He prophesied of the captivity of his own people. He prophesied of their release. He prophesied of Christ, his suffering. Prophesied of the anointed one. Prophesied of the wealth transference multiple times. Extend peace to you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. Your eyes will shine with joy. Your heart shall be filled with thrill, for merchants from around the world will flow into you, bring into you the wealth of many lands. He saw this. He saw Isaiah 60, arise, shine, thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord shall rise upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. He is looking at the final days of humanity and the glory of God that will rise upon the people of God in the last days. He sees it all. He's encountering it all. Why? Because he looked upon the glory of God. And when you look upon the glory of God, you're going to see more than just him. He's going to let you in on his plans. He's going to let you in on his purpose. He's going to show you how he's going to win the city of Houston, Texas. You're not going to win the city of Houston, Texas with human sufficiency and doing church. That is not. He's going to show us how to open things that were not open before. He's going to take a remnant body and he's going to expose them to his glory. And when he does, he's going to show his plan, his panoramic plan to his people. They're going to walk in omnipresent omniscience. We've been telling you, this is part of the operation of the seven eyes. What he's doing is he's culminating the end of the age. And he's, instead of giving one or two, three men in a generation the glory of God, he's going to take a whole remnant body of people and expose them to his glory. And they're all going to see his panoramic view of what he's doing and how he's going to do it from the heavenly perspective. And when you see it, you can get the job done because you'll be ahead of the enemy always. It was part of the way, the light of Christ. I was always wondering, what is the secret of the light? You know, it's the Holy Ghost. I said, I have that Holy Ghost, but I still don't have that kind of light. How did he have so much light on him? Everything always, he always knew everything all the time. You couldn't get anything. He didn't finish the sentences most of the time of his disciples. When they approached, he knew what was in their heart. He knew the attitude and the hearts of the people that he was ministering to. He saw Zacchaeus in the tree. He goes, listen, before I saw you, before you said out of me, I saw you under the juniper tree. I saw you. Just imagine all that he saw in his earthly ministry. I only do what I see my Father doing. He goes, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. I only do what I see my Father doing, and it's my Father that sent me. I do only things those please him, because I and my Father are one. The works that I do, you will do also, and greater than these, because I'm going to the Father so I can bring you to the Father so we, me and my Father can come back and be with you. Now I realize what was happening in the ministry of the Lord. He said, the works that I do, it's not I that doeth, but my Father's doing them through me. I know a lot of people say Jesus the healer, but in reality, it was the Father that was the healer. He was the healer, but he attributed every single healing that came through him as being from the Father. Because have you not seen me? Philip says, show us the Father. And Father speaks out from the Lord and said, Philip, have you not seen me all this time? How did he walk in so much light? Because he was always in front of his Father. And he was always beholding the glory of the Father. And because he was always beholding the glory of the Father, he was constantly seeing the omniscience that was coming from the Father. Because I can only do what I see my Father doing. He had to do it just like you and I. Everybody thinks because he was a son of God, he got gifted with all this stuff. He did get gifted, but he had to do it like you and I would do it. Out of relationship. Out of oneness with the Father. But the reason why he could see so much, get this, is because he was up in front of the Father all the time. And just like Isaiah had gotten from the Father, he saw the unfolding revelation. Just as Moses gotten from the Father, he sees the unfolding revelation of the past. Just like John gets in the Father, he gets transported 2,000 years and sees the 7-year tribulation and beyond. Peter, James, and John sees the second coming. Anybody gets up into the Father starts seeing. There was nothing he did not know in any circumstance and situation in his life, because he had been with the Father. He could see his day before it happened. God would give him the omniscience, because that kind of omniscience was coming directly, not just from the presence of the Father, but from what? The glory. And because he was beholding the glory, the Father was constantly opening him. So he could see and know and understand in every situation he was in. And God said, this is what your generation is going to access. You're going to see. Why do you think I'm having you climb up into the right hand of God? And why do you think the Lord said, Father, will they be with me? That they may behold my glory. You've loved me from the foundation of the world. I want them to see what I see. I want them to encounter what I can. I want them to minister the way I've ministered. The works that I do, I want them to do also. They did those works. He did those because he was in front of the Father. He could see everything. God, the Father, was sharing his omniscience with his own son in his earthly ministry. Well, that's Jesus. He specifically said, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater than these, because I go unto my Father. I will that you be with me in my Father, the same way I'm in the Father. I will that you be with me where I am. Now, he said that where I am 3 different times. John 12 was the first one. The first where I am, he says, if any man followeth me, he says, if any man serve me, let him followeth me, that where I am, there shall be also. The first phase of where I am is to follow. The second phase is the invitation. That's in John 14. Say the invitation. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, identifying exactly where you're going to be and giving you an invitation. The final is, I will. My final is, you be with me in the Father where I am, that you may behold my glory. His ultimate will was the people to behold the glory, the Father. My friends, when we begin accessing, truly accessing, encountering, I'm not talking about the present, I'm talking about the pure glory. When you start accessing, encountering the glory of the Father, you're going to come out with revelation. Serious revelation. What kind of revelation? God's plans and purposes for your generation. Gave it to Isaiah to the T. Showed him the captivity, prophesied the captivity, prophesied the name of the person that was going to release them from captivity. Cyrus. Prophesied before they went in and prophesied what was going to happen 70 years later. Cyrus is going to release them. Prophesied their return. Prophesied that the second return, where the people of Israel would all come back in the last days to the land of Israel. Prophesied the Trump Cyrus generation. Amen. Isaiah saw the whole thing unfold. How many want to be caught up in that kind of glory? Now, God has only shared that kind of glory with few men in any generation. You don't have a lot of them in the Bible that get caught up and see the plans and purposes of God and unfolding revelations of who he is and what he's doing. But what he wants to do, and this is what he spoke to me. He said, what I'm going to do in your generation, what's happening when the crowning of the seven eyes and the seven horns gets released and the seven spirits of God upon your generation, the people of this generation of the church of Philadelphia are going to begin to see the glory of God, encounter the plans and purposes of the Father, the specific plans and purposes, not only of your life, but how it's fitting into his overall plan. He's going to have a cohesive body carrying the panoramic plan of God and fulfilling the panoramic plan of this generation to the fullness. Why? Because we can see. You can't get it done without seeing. Right now, we're walking by faith. It's a lot easier to walk by faith if you can see in the Spirit what's happening. Amen? It's a lot easier. Instead of getting blindsided, you just walk right around it. The Lord could see. He could walk around the trap set for him. He could see. He knew where to be. He was always in the right place at the right time, perfectly fulfilling the Father's will. Amen. Why? Because he could see. Why? Because he was encountering the glory of the Father daily. And you encounter the glory, your eyes are going to get opened. You'll know where to be. You'll know where to go. You'll know where the next revival's at. You'll know where to move. You'll know what time to move, when to move. You'll know who to hang out with, who not to hang out with. You'll know. Constantly know you'll be in front of the enemy, even though the enemy's been around 6,000 more years than you've been around. You'll be in front of him all the time because you'll be giving a wisdom that's been around 6 million years before the enemy was. Amen. You'll be given a wisdom of God, the omniscience. Part of that omniscience is business acumen. Say business acumen. You'll know what to do, where to be, how to do it. You won't be moving out of the soul. You'll be moving out of the Spirit. You'll know when to do it, when not to do it. Everybody's saying do it, and you say, no, looks good right now, but it's going to take a dive. Then God's going to say, jump in now. I'm like, everyone's saying, don't even touch it. It's going to go straight up. Amen? You'll know. The next business venture you get in, you'll know. Nope. You'll say nay or yay. But you'll see. You'll see relationship. Imagine if you could see in the realm of business, family, relationship. Imagine if you could see what's going on with your kids. Imagine you could see the kids, what's going on, see the impending dangers. Imagine you could see fluently through relationships. Instead of wondering, wishing, waiting. Imagine you can see the next person comes through that door as a wolf and not a sheep. Imagine if you'd see. Not everybody that shows up nice are nice. Imagine you could see in business, church, when our eyes are on him. And now God shares these things prophetically with us in the gift realm, several as the Holy Spirit wills. It just didn't come around enough. But when you get into the glory, you see deep, far, wide, and multiple dispensations. You see God's plan for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He shares it all with you. You get an edge that a lot of people don't have. Like a lot of people do not want the book of Revelation to open because all they see is the 7-year tribulation and doom. We are begging God to open the book because we can see the incredible, glorious revival of the kings and priests that are going to reign in the earth. And we're like, please open the book. And they're all saying, please, God, take me home now. It's the last days. Give me a cabin in the woods so I can survive the Antichrist. You're not even going to be here. God is going to give us access to his omniscience. Read Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 60. Read Isaiah 61. Read Isaiah 45. He saw it all. I believe he saw most of that when he was caught up in the throne. He had multiple revelations of 3 different dispensations. His, Christ, and ours, because he was prophesying into ours. Isn't that amazing? Because he saw what? His glory. John saw the glory. Moses saw the glory. Peter, James, and John said they saw the glory. Listen, if you see the glory, you're going to see a lot more than a cloud. But I promise you, if you talk to most people, gospel people out there, and ask them, what's the glory? Well, it's the Shekinah cloud of glory that comes around. And, well, it's that rich, thick Shekinah atmosphere. And they don't know. But that's what they think the glory is. Now you can go tell somebody. Now you can go ask them, what's the glory? Let them talk. And then you realize they don't know what the glory is. I didn't even know it was until this recently. Now I'm realizing, oh my, anybody that gets caught up into the glory, the face of God, he's going to share his secrets with you. His unfolding revelations of kingdoms. Daniel saw it. Anybody who gets caught up like that sees the unfolding revelation of God. He lets you in on his mysteries. The deep mysteries. Amen? That is what he's going to give us. Relational glory, financial glory, church glory. Boy, do we need that. Could you imagine if we're all full of the glory? Anybody walks in here, you know everything about them. You know how to get them fixed up right away. I mean, look how effective you can be if you can see every trap the enemy lays for you. Think about how effective you can be. If you can see the plan of God on how to win this city. Do you think God has a plan to win this city, or does he just want to get 100 more churches looking like the same ones? He has a purpose and a plan of how to affect this city. When Jesus left Nazareth, and I'll try to close, he went to Capernaum, and he captured the glory of the Father's plan for Capernaum. And before he was done, he witnessed to every single strata of society of Capernaum. Capernaum, first place he goes, fishing. Remember he gets in Peter's boat? Capernaum. What's the number one enterprise of financial enterprise of Capernaum? The fishing industry was the absolute number one. The first thing he did is manifested his glory right in front of everybody. Preached to him and manifested his glory to the fishermen that did not know how to catch fish. So he goes out there and fills their boats up, lands their boats. Peter, James, Andrew, John, they leave right there. The fishing industry right there, they leave it. He gives them a 3.5-year catch in one day. They just lost it. He just witnessed to that whole strata of society. Now, he's just getting started. Guess who shows up? Matthew, the tax collector of Capernaum. He gets converted. His protege gets converted because he walks up and says, "Does your master pay taxes?" That was Matthew's protege. He gets converted. Then they tear the roof off of Peter's house. He has all the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they can't see. And they're all in the house. And they can't get, his mom can't get in there. And she's having an attitude outside that, "You know who I am? I am his mom." Open the door. They were jam-packed. She couldn't get in. They tear the roof off, lower that paralytic in there, and he demonstrates his father's glory right there in Capernaum. The night that he gets to Capernaum, the first day he walks in the temple, whose temple? Jairus' temple, the head of religion of Capernaum, and he casts the devil out of that temple. Goes to Peter's house, rebukes the fever of Peter's mother, and then he wakes up a long time before dawn, and he goes to try to get away from everybody, and his disciples find him at 3 a.m, or whatever a long time is, and he gets up and he says, "Master, all men seek for thee." Why? He had a revival at the doorstep of Peter's house. He said they brought him from all over Capernaum, and he had a massive revival. Listen, you don't have to try to build a church when you got that kind of stuff on you. They will find you at 4:00 a.m. The whole city came out looking for him at 4 a.m. He was working his father's plan in a city to show how this was going to get done. The head of religion, the financial industry. Guess who else? The centurion of Capernaum. He was the chief of police. His servant, he goes, "Don't come to speak the word early. No, you got more authority than I do. I never seen an authority like that to speak the word." He gets healed. His whole household gets saved. He's chief of police, the military garrison. He gets Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. Chief of religion, chief of police, financial industry. All those mighty works were done right there. And he was singling every strata. Oh, let's not forget the political. We don't want the political, right? The nobleman of Capernaum, chief of the political system. He had to get his son healed from that. Remember the nobleman of Capernaum? He said, "Go that way. Your son liveth." Remember that? Every strata of society. See, the politics, they're all fighting right now because they don't see no demonstration. Financial, they're all fighting because they don't see no demonstration. Because they haven't seen the kingdom of God come down yet. The kingdom of God's going to come down with this kind of anointing that the church is walking in right now. The kingdom of God's going to come down when the church get exposed to the glory of the Father. And they start seeing the panoramic. And they start wearing the glory of the Father. And seeing his plan. And they start moving in his plan. He'll start reaching every strata of society. He'll minister to them all when he's done. He'll get up into NASA. He'll get up into all of them. Hallelujah. He'll get it all done. This is the point. When the Lord went to Capernaum, he showed the Father's model. Because he showed being in relationship with the Father. In perfect relationship. How he had witnessed to every part. Amen? That all came out of the glory. That all was being orchestrated by the Holy Spirit under the glory of the Father. That's how God's going to do it. Amen? Understanding his plan and purpose, being in the right time, walking in a light that's not of this world. That's how we're going to get the job done. Listen, it's not going to always be about going up, 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 up. We're going up, 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 up to get the glory. To be in the face of God, to be clothed in the glory and to see the glory and come back and walk in that kind of anointing. Because when you walk in that anointing, you're going to get more done in one day than we did in 20 years of religion. Every day is going to be a day like no other. The whole city will come to the door. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. What you've shown to Peter, James, and John. What you've shown to John. What you've shown to Isaiah. What you've shown to Moses. You will, Lord. Ultimately, we be with you. To behold the Father of love. To behold the Father of lights. To behold the Father of power. To behold all the glory. To see the unfolding revelation. Of this generation, the final generation, to see the perfection of your plan executed by a global bridal company of people riding a white horse. This is your plan. I think God has a lot more to do with ministers just having big conferences and selling tapes. I think he wants to reach real deep this time. Amen. Real wide, real deep. Thank you, Father.